Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. Can you grab a bottle of water out of here for me? I'm going to start it. 1 Kings, chapter 19, and I want to continue our study tonight on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Brother Dorsey. I'm excited about tonight's. Now, tonight will not be the most exciting, dramatic, not necessarily the most life-changing, but it could be. It's going to be a little bit more instructive. And if you'll listen tonight, I think I can help you. 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to start reading verse number 9. You follow along with me silently. And he, speaking of Elijah, came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Now I want you to know some words in here. Notice the Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said, Who is he? The word of the Lord. And it said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, for I have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so. When Elijah heard it, what did he hear? The small voice. That he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Lord, in the next 35 minutes, I pray that you'd help me. Help me to rightly divide the words of truth for these your people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Our world has corrupted and perverted the concept of the Holy Spirit. Many have taught and believe that the Holy Spirit comes and brings loud, tongue-speaking, faith-healing, spectacular services filled with emotion. Many believe that fast-paced, loud, tingly kind of music, feel the goosebumps, is the Holy Spirit. That is not what the Holy Spirit is all about. Let me help you tonight. By the way, none of that is true. Well, I felt goosebumps. It must have been the Holy Spirit. Man, I felt goosebumps before, and it wasn't good. You can feel goosebumps and not have a good situation on your hands. Just because you got goosebumps doesn't mean it was the Holy Spirit. Just because you felt warm and fuzzy inside doesn't mean it was the Holy Spirit. Elijah has just challenged 850 false prophets. There are 450 false prophets of Baal and 400 other false prophets. If you read earlier in chapter 18, you find that out. And if you remember, there was a big challenge. They set out before on an altar a sacrifice, and the God that spoke with fire was the one that was going to be the true God. And all day long, the false prophets, they were cutting themselves and chanting and bleeding all over the place. And Elijah sits back and mocks them and says, Well, maybe your God's asleep. Cry a little louder. Kind of like Elijah. He's my kind of guy. Maybe he's on vacation and he can't hear you. They cried louder, and he finally got tired of them and said, You all bunch of idiots, sit down. You've been at this all day and can't stir up dust even. The Bible says that Elisha rebuilt the altar and situated it rightly. He put the sacrifice there, and they dug a trench around it, and they put 12 barrels of water on top of the sacrifice in the wood. And the Bible says that Elisha prayed approximately, I think it's a 73-word prayer. The Bible says that the power of God came down, the fire of God came down, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood, consumed the stones, and dried up all the water that was in the ditch. And the Bible says then that Elijah took out a sword and killed 850 false prophets. Whacked their gizzards out. Then King Ahab was ticked off. The Bible says that Elijah ran ahead of King Ahab's chariot and got to Jerusalem first. Here's what you don't realize. It was over a 70-mile trip. He outdid a horse and chariot for over 70 miles. He got to the gate of the town and was standing there when the king come rolling by. And King Ahab went whining to Queen Jezebel. I can't believe that prophet he destroyed, and boy, Jezebel got mad. Word got out that Jezebel was mad, and then Elijah ran again another close to 20 or so miles to get away from her the very next day. So here he is, tired, he's wore out. We read in chapter 19 before then, the Bible says that the journey was too great for him. The Bible says that God gave him food and God gave him water in this cave. And then the Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto him saying, what are you doing here? What you moping around in here for? He said, I've been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left that seek my life to take it away. He said, God, I've done everything I know to do, and now your people are trying to kill me. How fair is that, God? The Bible says, Elijah, get up, go to the top of the mountain. He went up there, and the Bible says that the wind, God says, watch this, and the wind blew so hard that it was breaking the rocks in half. But God was not in the wind. Then he said the earth began to shake, and there was a huge earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then a wildfire came, burnt everything up. The Bible says that God was not in the fire. But then there was a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and stood in the entering of the cave and said, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, we see that the Holy Spirit is that voice. The Holy Spirit is the holy breath of God. The word spirit is the word pneumos, or the word breath. It is the holy breath of God. Now, Jesus is the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is the one that gave it to us. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were talked to by the Holy Spirit. Now, watch this. This small voice is what Elijah heard. Very much in contrast to the modern, and I'm going to use a term here, it involves many different denominations, but I'm going to call it the charismatic movement of today. Do you all understand that terminology? That's your Pentecostals, your Church of God, your holy rollers, and all those kind of, you know, the snake handlers and the fire players and all that other stuff. That is what you call the charismatic movement. They rely on charisma and the moving of people. It's not a holy moving. It is the charisma. Can I tell you something? They have the day of Pentecost screwed up so bad that most Baptists are afraid of the day of Pentecost. I want to show you something that is very interesting that goes with this out of Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. I don't have time to develop it fully, but I just want to show it to you and run past it, but it will help you in many, many, many ways. We talk about Pentecost as the day that people were filled with the Holy Ghost. No, they were filled with the Holy Spirit the moment they got saved after the resurrection. The symbol of it came about, and Pentecost was the first proof of the filling of the Holy Spirit by the disciples with the people getting saved. Now watch this. I want to show you something. Look at Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, they had a big meeting, correct? Now watch this. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty what? What did it say in 1 Kings chapter 19? God was not in the... And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of... But God wasn't in the fire. If you notice, the disciples were in the room and the room was shaken later. Now watch this. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now look at me. The Pentecostal church, their symbol is the cloven tongue of fire. But God's not in the fire. God's not in the wind. Notice it said as of. That is a simile. It didn't say it was fire. Now, listen to me very carefully. The Holy Spirit is not some wild, snake-handling, flop-on-the-floor, jibber-jabber, crazy service. The Holy Spirit is a still, small voice. The Holy Spirit is a still, small voice. He is the Holy Spirit, or the holy breath of God. Do you know people get in trouble? You can tell somebody's health is in trouble by how they breathe. When their breathing starts getting labored, getting louder, getting rattly, we say, your breathing's not good. Can I tell you something? When the breathing's not good, living's not real good. It gets a little hard to live when you ain't got no breath. It's not good English, but it's good living. The Holy Spirit works with the Word of God and makes the Word of God the living words of God. See, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives life to the words of God. He is the one that gives breath to the Word of God. So as we read the Word of God, as we preach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit says, Brother Dorsey, and all of a sudden, God shows Brother Dorsey something. And it's like, I've read that 100 times before, never saw it. Yeah. But you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and he brought life to it. Did you know in life things change? Do you know I have a different perspective of life than I did 40 years ago? Brother Mike, life's a whole lot different than it was 40 years ago. Amen. 40 years ago, I was 10, 12 years old. Having the time of my life. I was a junior hire. Dumb as a box of rocks. No comments, please. Every junior hire's brain rolls out their ear for a few years. But may I say something? Life changes. I have a different perspective of life than I did in junior high. You say, why? I reared 3 junior hires. I was principal of 3 different Christian schools with hundreds and hundreds and thousands of junior hires. Trust me, I have a whole different perspective of life. Can I tell you something? As we go through life, perspective changes, which means things have to grow with it. And the Holy Spirit is the part of God that brings life to the words of God. He is the one that makes it come alive to us. He is the holy breath of God. God spoke these words. God still speaks, not just as we read, but as we have him in us, he says, hey, think about this. Shazam. He is the one that brings life to the words of God. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He had a spirit in him. So when we get the Holy Spirit, we get an eternal life, but we also get the spiritual life back on earth. And we are now fully alive. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings life to these words. When we say, God spoke to me here, he did, but it was Holy Spirit saying, hey, stupid, did you see this? Hey, did you recognize that? No, and I've read that dozens of times. Where did that come from? I know I've read it, but where did that come from? Now, tonight I want to show you in 21 minutes how the Holy Spirit speaks. He doesn't come loudly, he doesn't come boldly, and he does not come emotionally. Notice he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the earthquake. It was a what? Still, small voice. Oh, so much I want to say here. He's the holy breath. If you can hear somebody's breath, usually they're in distress. It's that still, small voice. You know, you breathe thousands of times a day and never pay attention to it. Get asthma and you'll start paying attention to it. Here's somebody with asthma. You're going to pay attention to somebody's breath. Sit beside the bedside of a loved one who is near death and they're taking their last breaths. And hear the rattle. And hear the breath slowly leave their body. You'll find out, you'll start counting breaths. You see, he wasn't in the fire. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in spectacular ways. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit does not come in spectacular ways. Stand up here for a second, Brother Dorsey. You're not going to get hurt, I promise. You have the charismatics that believe in faith healing. You know, be healed in the name of Jesus. Pow! They want to get some spectacular thing. Oh, his gizzard's fixed. He doesn't have AIDS anymore. Well, you can't see that, right? Knowing him, he probably still does. But no, have a seat. They want the spectacular. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. I've been healed. And well, if you don't get healed, then you just don't have enough faith. Hear him say that? Yeah. Did you ever notice Jesus never had trouble healing anybody, whether they had faith or not? They want to handle fire and snakes. Folks, those people are stupid. You get around those people, just get as far away from them as you can. You'd be surprised how many times I've been asked, do you all handle snakes at your church? Nope. The only way I handle them is with a shovel or a gun. Pop them heads off or get rid of them, amen? I said, now if it's a black snake, we'll pick it up and move it somewhere else, but we're just not gonna do that. I was working in a church. And one day the screams came. And I mean the screams came. And the secretary was in her office screaming away. Well, we walked in there and there's a 5-foot-long black snake on her phone. She had reached to answer the phone. She was not in the same room with the phone anymore. And we got that snake out of there and she didn't want to go back to work in that office for a while. We have the tongue-speaking services and people start jibber-jabbering and, you know, saying all the motorcycle names backwards and everything else and it's a bunch of craziness, nonsense. Oh, you got to be filled with the Holy. You got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And you prove that by speaking in tongues. That's a bunch of junk. Yes. Oh, I've got a word of knowledge. Somebody out there's got some money. You got it today. God wants you to give it. That's how they do it. Send us your seed money. Put your hands on the back of the television and feel the power. Yeah, you're going to feel some power. The Holy Spirit uses the natural to do the supernatural. The Holy Spirit uses the natural to do the supernatural. For instance, sat right back there in my office today. Well, Michael sat in there, and Robert and Maya were in my office planning a funeral. Hearts are heavy. They didn't know she was sick. She got a cold. Then they found out she had congestive heart failure and died within days. Just boom. Just in her late 40s, early 50s. Young. Real young. Can I tell you something? I can't help them. I can't fix it. But we talked for a while. And opened up that very New Testament right there and won both of them to Christ. Say, what was that? The Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. I was preaching another funeral months ago at Dee's mom's funeral, and one of the ladies that raised her hand was the lady that just died. Say, do you believe in giving invitations at a funeral service? You better believe it. You better believe it. That's proof of it right there. Say, doesn't that bother you? That's a captive audience. What better way to give the gospel? Wage of sin is death. Proof? We're at a funeral. It's pretty natural right there. I have no problem saying that. I will give the gospel at a funeral. I want the gospel preached at my funeral, whenever it is, and hopefully it's not soon. But may I say something? Something miraculous took place. And it wasn't because of the preacher. It was the Holy Spirit doing it. It wasn't me. Because all I can do is give the gospel. I didn't force anybody's hand up. God didn't drag you by the neck, push your face into the ground at the altar and say, get saved. You have to submit to him to get saved. So he doesn't come loudly. He doesn't come boldly. He doesn't come emotionally. Number two, just like God, the Holy Spirit does not force you to follow. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit does not force you to follow. It would be a whole lot easier if he did, but he won't force himself. Do you know the greater the person, the less they force you to do anything? The weaker the person, the more they force you to do something. Let me show you what I mean. Boy, am I going to get in trouble on this one. If you had children, more than one, you know what I'm about to say is true. You're going to leave for an hour or two, and you're going to leave the oldest in charge of the younger one. Guess what happens?
They were mean to me.
They start ordering everybody around. So how do you know that? I had an older brother. I didn't have any younger brothers or sisters. Thank God. They would have never survived. You say, what is that? Immaturity forces. Leadership just leads. They don't force you to follow. Real leadership doesn't force anybody to follow. Right. They don't. Following the Holy Spirit is by yielding. He won't force himself on you. It would be noticeable if the Holy Spirit came down and pow, slapped you in the face and said, now do what I told you to do. But would that be good leadership? No. He wants willing followers. He doesn't want forced followers. He does not hit you over the head and force you to be filled. He doesn't hit you over the head and force you to grow. He doesn't hit you over the head and force you to do what the Bible says you're supposed to do. But he's that, I hate using this word, that nagging, still small voice. That little, you think you ought to do that? You think you really should not do that? That voice that said, well, I'm tired, don't want to go to church tonight. And inside it was saying, doesn't matter how tired you are. That's called the Holy Spirit, that still small voice. Yielding to the Spirit is not vain repetition. You can say, I yield to the Holy Spirit 10,000 times in a day and not be yielded to him. I don't care how many times you say it. Yielding is an action, not a word. Everybody understand that? When you yield, you can say, I'm going to yield to the stop sign. But if you blow right through it, you didn't yield. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's not thinking long enough to where I just know that I have this. No, yielding is you taking enough time to slow down and say, how would you do it? And that's what I'm going to do. Before you speak those harsh words, what would God say? Before you react, what would God say? Before you blow up at work, how would God do it? That's called yielding to the Holy Spirit. 15, 20 years ago, there was a big fad. People would wear bracelets and necklaces, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, how about what does the Bible say? I'm not against those things. I'm not saying it's sinful, but may I say this? How about I yield to the Holy Spirit? What would God tell me to do? What did God tell me to do? We don't have to ask him. He's told us right there. Everybody doing okay? Yielding is us doing it God's way, not our way. By the way, getting filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't happen all at one time. Do you know if you get a cold, you've had it for a while before you know you got it? Starts with one germ. One person went, ah! 14 million germs went, pew! And you picked one of them up and didn't know it. Or you touched the doorknob that they touched after they went, pew! In their hand. And then you went like that and got it in your nose and didn't know it. Or you rubbed your eye and got it in your eye and didn't know it. And then all of a sudden it starts traveling through your system and multiplying as it goes. And it takes days, sometimes weeks, before it actually shows up in your system, and then you're sick. That's kind of like the Holy Spirit. You get it a little at a time. Now, as we yield to him, he takes more and more control, but only if he's invited. Only if he's invited. Early this morning, I knew I had that appointment. Got to my office about 6 or so this morning, before 6. And I looked at my schedule and said, Lord, I'm going to have at least a lost man coming today. I'm going to get him the gospel today. Please help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Then they came today and there was 2 of them. I said, good, now you got 2 chances. Honestly, that's what I thought. Mrs. Barnes let him in, came into my office, sat down. We never met him before. But about 30 minutes later, they bowed their head on my couch and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Say, what was that? The Holy Spirit, not me. I can't save them. Number 3, and I got to hurry. He does not come to be a show. He comes to be used to change a life. The Holy Spirit does not come to be an entertainment show. He comes to be used by you to change a life. Listen to these statements. He does not come to prove you have him. The Bible says the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he indwells you. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't have to prove to you that he's there. He's there. You got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And to prove that, you got to speak in tongues. Wrong religion. Speaking in tongues has never saved anybody. The Holy Spirit does not fill you like a pool. He fills you like a pipe. I'm talking like a water pipe, not the kind that you use to smoke. He is not there for storage. Watch this. A water pipe has pressure in it. That water stays in that pipe. The only time it escapes is when you crack the faucet. Well, you're the faucet. When you yield to him and open the faucet, the Holy Spirit flows through you. Close it off till the next time you need it. But it's in reserve, ready to go. He's not a storage tank. He's not a pool of water that you splash in. You are the conduit, you're the faucet, and he is to flow through you. He's not there to be stored up so you can say, look how much of it I got. Did you know you have an endless supply of the Holy Spirit if you just keep popping the faucet open? Boy, that's good stuff. Yielding to him opens the faucet and allows him to flow through. It's not a pool party for everybody to be entertained at. The Holy Spirit will work quietly as we obey the Word of God. He prompts us to obey, and it's not a magic show. I obeyed by presenting the gospel. He worked, and people got saved. See the difference? What if I'd sat in my office and felt warm and fuzzy, but never gave him the gospel? What if I sat in my office and had goosebumps go up and down my back? Oh, that's lovely that you got goosebumps, but nobody got saved. I just felt so warm and fuzzy about all these people that need my help. I want to prove to them how much God has a hold of me. Wrong focus. I looked at him and said, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? No. You? No. Wouldn't you like to? Yeah. Pushed back my chair from my desk. I rolled over to the couch, pulled my New Testament out and said, let me show you something. And in just a couple minutes, out loud, they bowed their head and trusted Christ as their Savior. That wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit. And he was a big dude. Thinking, man, I hope he's friendly. Wait a minute. We obey tithing. And God makes up the difference. I got an email this week from Mr. McMillan, man that gave us $165,000 for this building. I gave him a little report of what's been happening in the last few weeks. I want to read a portion of this to you. He said, oh yes, your journey is not over, but you've reached a very significant waypoint. He says, what a long path it took to get to where you are with many frustrations along the way. How well I know. This is no small achievement. I think that you make the Lord smile. You sure have made me smile. I'm proud of you and have been able to be a small part of this. It is a small part. I want you to keep that in perspective. In the last 2 years, we have built the Fire Academy by TFT and has taught me some lessons that I should have learned long ago. You can have the biggest pile of money in the world, but if you don't have good, smart people that can take that resource and use their creativity to turn it into something that did not exist before, you have nothing but a pile of money. You and your people made this happen, and that is the resource to be proud of, not the financial inputs that you've received. The people that invested in this project received a huge paycheck that they saw something created that would not have been there without the people to make it happen. I share this because it's been my experience with Fire Academy. I thought I would be proud of getting it done with the wealth I had created. Not so. What I'm proud of is the team that it took, the team that took that money and built something with it. I say this because the tendency that I have seen with donations that I have made is that the recipients put too much focus on the financial donors. They have their reward. They can see what is done with their input. It is the people that put their back into it that need to be honored. That's a very wealthy man that's got things in the right perspective. Yes, sir. Let me tell you. Say, how'd that happen? People in this room obeying God. And in the process, somebody you never met said, God told me you need help. And he helped. That's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. Only God can do that.
Yes, sir.
My friends don't have that kind of money. I held in my hand his checkbook. No. I want you to notice something. 1 Kings 19 once again said this. The word of the Lord came unto me. The word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him. In other words, the Holy Spirit works within the pages of that book. That's it. That means you need to read that book. That means you need to know that book. That means you need to study that book. That means you ought to be here and hear it preached and hear it taught so you can learn more about that book. That means this. You can have it all up here, but if you don't obey it, what good is it? Do you know that you can know every traffic law there is, but if you drive 120 miles an hour down Route 9, you're still going to get a ticket? At least you should. Can I tell you something? It's not what you know, it's how you obey what you know. And I have found this true about the Bible. The more of it you obey, the more of it he teaches you. The more of it you obey, the more of it he teaches you. Well, I read it and I read it and I don't get anything out of it. How much of it are you living? When you start living the truth that you just got, he'll say, let me teach you another one. He giveth wisdom to the wise. He gives strength to the strong. He doesn't give it to the weak. He doesn't give it to the unwise. He gives it to the wise. So, when you know that book, when you read that book, when you study that book, when you obey that book, he has the ability to work through you. That's turning the faucet on. The Holy Spirit is not some wild, crazy freak show. He does not operate off the premise of emotion and doing the spectacular. They're not weird events that take place when the Holy Spirit comes. He just flows through us as we yield so that he can do what we cannot do.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I cannot save anybody, but I can present the gospel. Did you know the more I present the gospel, the more people get saved? It's amazing, Brother Mike. Did you know that the more you go to work, the more money you make? Strange concept in our world today. Show up on time, work when you're at work. It's amazing how much pay you get. But America thinks we should get everything for nothing and let everybody else pay the bill. No. The Holy Spirit is that still, small voice. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, has the Holy Spirit worked on you? Has he been gnawing away at the inside? Has he been working overtime on your heart with that still, small voice?